Welcome to the Teachers of Europe podcast, a podcast to support teachers across Europe in addressing common classroom challenges and featuring teachers that can inspire others to follow their footsteps. My name is Ruth Batista, Professional Development Manager for the European School Education Platform, and I will be your host. In our last podcast episode, we discussed about teachers' well-being. According to the latest data collected by the European Commission on Promoting Supportive Learning Environments and Supporting Well-being at School report, 20% of school children experience mental health problems during their school years, and 1 in 5 children reported growing up unhappy and anxious about the future due to bullying, challenges with school, and loneliness. Today, we will go deeper on the topic of student well-being, and with us, we have three guests. Holly, representing the voice of students from Ireland, Sally, representing the voice of teachers, and she's from Finland, and Tina, the research director at Tampere University, and she's working in the project Future School of Comprehensive Wellbeing from the University of Helsinki. Maybe let's start with Holly. Hi, Holly.
Hello.
Can you share a little bit about yourself?
I can, of course. My name's Holly Richardson, and I'm a fifth-year student in the Clorglin Community College in Ireland. And myself and a few of my friends at school are a part of our wellbeing committee. It's focused on helping people with their wellbeing through school by organising events. We recently just set up a house system, actually, which is similar to Harry Potter, mm-hmm. but instead ours is focused on the Greek gods.
Okay, great. Then we have Sally with us, the representing the voices of teachers. Hi, Sally.
Hello, and thank you for having me. So my name is Sally Pylvänäinen, and I'm a class teacher and a health education teacher. I worked as a class teacher for a few years in Helsinki, Finland, mainly children aged 9 to 12. But right now I'm working as a doctoral researcher and taking part to School Well project with Tina. But I'm glad to talk here from teacher's perspective today.
Thank you so much, Sally, for joining us. Hi, Tina. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Hello. Yes, thank you. My name is Tina Soini. I'm a research director in Tampere University in the Faculty of Education and Culture. And my field is educational psychology. I have been leading a research group for almost 20 years now, which concentrates on studying schools and school development. And we've done quite a lot of research on students' well-being as well as teachers' well-being in the past years. And like you told, I'm recently, we have started a project on Future School of Comprehensive Wellbeing, or School Well, like we call it, like Sally just said. So very nice to be here.
Thank you so much. We are very happy to have you here as well. Well, according to the Council of Europe, well-being is the experience of health and happiness, and it includes mental and physical health, physical and emotional safety, and a feeling of belonging, sense of purpose, achievement, and success. It is a broad concept and covers a range of psychological and physical abilities, including emotional well-being, physical well-being, social well-being, workplace well-being, and societal well-being. Let's start our conversation with Holly. And I would like to ask Holly, what challenges do students face that are impacting the well-being? And maybe you can further detail a little bit your experience with the council, the Students' Council at your school.
Well, we find that there are so many challenges as a student. You know, students face challenges every day, whether it's in school, outside school. There are the obvious ones, which is like exams, stress. But we just find that there are so many that just don't get recognized as much, like family matters, you know, life outside of school, the stress expectations they have. So we like to try our best to organize events just to help them just enjoy the day a bit more. You know, maybe they could find something they're interested to outside of school. And we just think it's really important that they enjoy their school. You know, they come into school not dreading it, and they have some bit of fun that it might like take a little bit of stress off them, and, you know, try to help them out a bit more.
And how do you do that with your Students' Council?
So we organize events such as we organize, we try to aim every week to have something going on in school. So we organize like sports tournaments, or we do arts and crafts, or we do music. Like there's honestly so many that we organize. We want everyone to have something that they enjoy through school. Recently, we've set up our house system. Our house system focus, it's like Harry Potter. It's focused on the Greek gods. So every student in school has been put into one of the houses. There's 5 houses. And there is 10 captains, which are students. And then there is 10 vice captains, which are staff members. So we really get to work together, like all the students and all the staff really work together on the houses. And we organize events, which gives you points. At the end of each term, there will be a reward for like the first house coming in that has the most points. We put on loads of events that help us, like, you know, we get to know each other, we get to do stuff together, you know, so like no one feels alone. So we set up loads of events during the week, such as like soccer games, activities, like the smallest of things that we just try to get everyone to enjoy having a bit of fun and getting to know each other a bit more.
Really, really fun. Sounds at least really, really fun. Sally, being a teacher, do you actually connect to these challenges that Holly just mentioned? Do you think, do you like to add some more? What challenge do you think students face that are impacting their well-being?
Yes, I absolutely agree with Holly. And I think it's really important. And in this podcast, we have Holly here to tell from the perspective of students. And I've seen that students stress quite much about exams and like all to do with the school as well. But then, like Holly said, there isn't any separate well-being at school and at home. It's the whole well-being. And there are some challenges that happens at home as well that affect to students' well-being. And one thing I would like to add is smartphones and social media. Because in my work, I've seen that there are children who have smartphone addiction, even if they are quite young. They can spend hours, like 6 or 8 hours per day on their phones. And this is something that has happened in the past maybe 15 years. This challenge we didn't have before. And I think the concern is that as adults, we don't know what students are really doing with the phones. And obviously we can do many good things with smartphones at school and learn through them. But then there's also some negative aspects with those. And the time that students spend with their phones, that is always away from something else. Maybe away from playing outside with children, other children, and like Holly said, connecting to others, mm-hmm. Spending time with others. In a way, I think this is something that really challenges well-being right now.
Thank you, Sally. Tina, do you confirm this by the research findings? What does research say about changes in student well-being in recent years and potential causes?
Yeah, well, it sounds familiar, both what Holly and Sally was talking about. Students are experiencing quite a lot of stress and like feel the expectations are quite big at schools today. And for instance, anxiety. And in Finland, for example, we have a huge increase in anxiety, especially with girls. I think that sometimes has to do with the fact that the expectations are experienced quite big. And on the other hand, it might have a lot of to do with the social media and use of phones like Sally was talking about. So it sounds familiar. Loneliness is one of the things that have been increasing in Finland and in Europe and I think worldwide. So students do lack a sense of belonging to their class group or to their school. Or well, maybe we just as an adults and professionals do not recognize that there is a school that is divided to a kind of this academic reality, and then there is the social reality, and the students are trying to achieve as students and in academic life, and then they are trying to manage with the peer group, and it's quite demanding these days, it seems. So I think sometimes we as adults are not like understanding the whole picture of school experiences of young people.
Are there effective interventions or approaches that teachers can adopt to improve student well-being, according to research, of course?
Well, there is a lot of interventions going on in terms of well-being, and some of them are actually, well, quite effective in a short term, at least. I mean, there are a lot of things happening in relation to, for instance, lack of physical activity, which is one of the problems we are facing. So there are, for instance, a lot of projects, programs trying to increase activity in school, physical activity, physical active learning, and so forth. And they are quite effective, but the problem is that they sometimes don't last very long, or maybe when the project ends, the activities do not last in school life. And I think in general, we have this problem of concentrating on one side of the well-being at the time. So we are doing these kind of separate interventions and separate projects. We should actually understand how the whole comprehensive experience of school hangs together. How does the physical activity is it related to the experiences of loneliness or anxiety and the other way around? So we don't really understand the entity of school life, like I said before. But there are good interventions, and what we are trying to do in our project is trying to combine all the understanding that we have from the previous studies and previous experiences from the intervention, trying to combine them together and find the ways to support well-being in a holistic way. It's not an easy task, but that's our aim.
That's wonderful. Actually, you heard what Holly shared with us, the experience that they are having in their school. It was set up by the students, of course, with the support of the teachers. What do you think about their experience? Do you think it's holistic enough, broad enough, and encompasses the aspects that I was referring in the beginning, the emotional, the physical, the social, the societal well-being?
I think it sounded very good. The activities that they have, or you have, Holly, in your school, sounds that you have taking all of these different aspects into account, and that's great. And it's also great that it comes from the students' own, like their own initiative. So I think it really has a good ground to stay alive in the school. The only thing that I would advise you to think is that we have been having research evidence on impact of interventions in a sense that when the interventions are integrated in the academic life or in the academic and learning happening in lessons, then they are usually more effective than when they are maybe separate activities. So I think that in addition of having these activities that are more like just for fun, you could also try to think about how would you integrate those activities into the normal lessons or learning in school. And maybe you have.
Yeah, maybe. Holly, do you have any connection?
We run loads of events. So like we often do such as like maths quizzes. For maths week, we did this like every day we had a different maths thing, and the first person to get it would get points towards their house. And we do it loads. Like we have a National Irish Week as well, so we run loads of like Irish speaking quizzes and everything. So we do try to like cooperate learning and having fun together. But if not, we do like all the other activities in non-academic classes. So, you know, it kind of balances out, but yeah.
Sounds amazing. Sally, now you. Where do you see the biggest challenges for teachers to implement this type of interventions?
Yes, if I think about what Tiina said, Tiina actually said what I was thinking, that it is hard to keep up with the intervention. Sometimes we teachers think that the time that we use to some intervention, it is away from something else. Like we think that we don't have time to do this kind of maybe something to add physical activity or to do some emotional or social well-being tasks. But I would like to challenge that thinking, because actually if it increases the well-being, we know that then it increases the learning as well. I think maybe problem in Finland can be that teachers in Finland, they have quite a huge autonomous to-do what we want. We don't have any specific tasks given. Sometimes it might be also difficult to follow given tasks that someone else has written down. And that is why I think what Holly is talking about, it's really nice to hear that it comes from the students and they have really done all the tasks and things by themselves. So it motivates also to keep up with the intervention.
And what strategies do you employ to create a positive and supportive learning environment, Sally?
Yeah, I think this question is extremely important because, like I said, I believe that the positive and supportive learning environment is requirement for learning. Learning is difficult if the students don't feel or if they feel uncomfortable for some reason. Myself, I've learned a lot about positive pedagogy and character strengths, and those are the things that I carry on with me every day with students. I try to show the students that they have different character strengths and we all have different ones and we can notice those while we are at school, like bravery, loyalty, sense of humor, honesty. And we can also notice other students' strengths during the school days. And also I try to stay focused to the good things. But still, I think it's important to have boundaries and consequences to actions. So I try to be systematic and trustworthy so the students know how I'm going to react in different scenarios.
And how do you handle situations where you notice a student may be struggling with their well-being?
Yeah, this is something that is quite... Oh, it comes quite often to teacher to think. And I think the first thing is to talk to the students. Student, what is happening? Can I help you? Is everything okay at home or with other students, your friends? I have had amazing teacher colleagues and I could talk to them or to principal. And if needed, of course, I can consult school psychologist or school social worker. And of course, it's important to contact the parents because it might be something to do with the parents or something is happening at home and I can't know about that if I don't ask from the parents or from the student.
Indeed. The involvement of the parents is very, very important. Holly. Actually, how can teachers ensure they have a positive and supportive relationship with a different type of students?
We're really lucky in our school because I think that we have like really supportive teachers. You know, they just want us to do our very best. They push us to do our very best. And, you know, it can be very hard to like get to know a teacher and, you know, to try be comfortable to talk to them if you had a problem. I think like from our personal experience, like while we're organizing these events and while they're running, you know, it's a great way that like teachers get to know the students and, you know, they have to talk, they have to help each other, they have to play games with each other. In a way, like they're just getting more and more comfortable with each other. And I feel like we do trust our teachers because we know that they want the very best for us. I think some people do struggle to talk to them, but we just want them to know that, you know, they can talk to them. I think the events running, like working with teachers and everything, it really does help a lot.
Okay, what role do you think students can play in advocating for and contributing to a healthier school environment? And actually, how can teachers support from your experience? You have a wonderful experience in your school, so maybe you can just say this is what can be done and this is how teachers can support. So what role can students play and how can teachers support you?
For all of these events that we go through, we have to work with our teachers, you know, what suits them, you know, what times and everything, what do they want to do it? Do they, you know, so we find like just talking to them and, you know, trying to get like working with them is a lot, you know, and then like there we like to explain our side of the story because we are the students, so we know what the students want and they know that as well, so we're extremely lucky. But I think, you know, just trying to get, just there's like a level of comfort you need with a teacher, and it's in like some schools it could be impossible to have, but we just want to try get that for them.
Yeah. Level of comfort. I like that expression. That's very interesting. Sally, you already mentioned the involvement with parents. Can you maybe explain a little bit more how can teachers work with parents to support students' well-being?
Yes, yeah, sure. Because I think this connection is crucial for actually a few reasons. Because like I said, there isn't no well-being at school and then well-being at home. It is all connected. I think the benefit for the student is that the goal is the same for teacher and the parents. Actually, there's a chapter about this in the Finnish curriculum about the partnership between the teacher and the parents. I think it's good that it is also mentioned there so that we really think why is it that important. I think open communication is really important. Sometimes for teacher it might be difficult to come up or not come up with the good things, but it's more easy to write to parents about something negative because sometimes it feels that we don't have time to talk about the positive things. So that is something that I also learned with one family that they felt that usually when I call with something negative. I actually was like thinking that, yeah, it is true. Because I don't have time, unfortunately, to talk when everything is going okay. So I think that you need to be open that there are many things going really well. And sometimes we just have to talk about not the good things. And like I mentioned, we can't know as a teacher what is really happening at home. Sometimes we say that if students or children tell something at home about the school and it sounds a bit funny, we need to remind the parents that we also hear funny stories from home and we don't know if it's true or not. So in that way, it's important that I am able to ask from parents, how is it really going or should I know something?
What do you think, Holly? Would you agree? How can teachers work with parents to support students' well-being?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But like for our school now, there's a school community, if you understand me. Like we have a teachers' council or a parents' council, my apologies. This is where the teachers kind of advocate for us. So they go to the parents council and the parents council are involved in our house system still. So if we had like competitions or anything, they would be like our judges or whatever. And they are actually fundraising money for us to organize all these events, which we're so grateful for. I think it's very crucial that the parents, you know, they're involved and they understand all that's going on and that like how much of a big effect that the well-being is and that it's a big factor as well to school.
Okay, maybe I would like to ask Tina first, but Sally and Holly, feel free to intervene whenever you want. Tina, based on what we heard today, what do you think, and also of course on your experience as a researcher on this area, what do you think are the most pressing issues related to student well-being?
When I'm listening to this discussion and I'm thinking about all the prior understanding on the matter, I'm just thinking that in many places we should try to understand the kind of the entity and the whole school as a community, for instance, students and teachers, and also the local community involved there. School as a community can have well-being or ill-being. When teachers are feeling well and they are in good interaction with the students, they can probably support them more. And then when the students are trusting their teachers and are able to tell about their experiences, then they feel better, their well-being increases. So we are all interconnected, and we should take care of the community. And I think that's what we are all been talking about today. And the other thing maybe is the interconnectedness of learning and well-being. I think both Holly and Sally were talking about the importance of taking both of these into account and understanding that if we are investing on well-being, we are also investing on learning and not taking something away from there. So these are very complex matters. on the other words, we are not going to solve these challenges in well-being by using one tool or using one strategy. We have to have a very holistic strategies here.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, actually, when I was reading about this topic, I read something on the Council of Europe, and it says that since well-being has many facets, improving students' well-being in schools requires a whole school approach involving both teachers and parents, and I would add the students as well, since according to the conversation we've been having here as well. Would you like to add something, Sally, maybe?
Yeah, I think Nina said quite well. And yeah, student well-being is a complex issue. And also, as a teacher, teachers should really acknowledge the importance of well-being. We are not just teaching maths or some English language or something like that, but actually the well-being should be part of all of that.
And can I add something that Sally, you said before about,
of course.
Mm-hmm. You said something about curriculum, because we also have to take into account that we are all working, the schools are working in their environments, and the environments are embedded in social situations in a society, and we are all part of Europe. So I think educational policy making is quite important here. So for instance, in Finnish curriculum, promoting student well-being is in the curriculum, and the importance of building community is in the curriculum. So it gives teachers, they are allowed to think about that. That is part of their job. I know this is not the case in all of the countries in Europe, for instance. So teachers and schools must have they should be given this role from the policy perspective also, so that is expected of them, and they are allowed to support well-being.
Okay, that's a very interesting point. Holly, would you like to add something to Tina's and Sally's views on what are the most pressing issues related to student well-being?
Yeah, they both said it very well. I agree with both of them. But yeah, I think, you know, like it's just... It should be like student well-being and teacher well-being, every well-being and education should be like 50-50. It's like a foundation for your education.
Okay, thank you so much. How do you think schools can better support well-being for both students and teachers, considering, of course, your perspectives? Let's maybe start now with Holly and then go to Sally and Tina.
I think... students can be very hard if they are going through something, or if they need any bit of help. They can be quite hesitant, and you know, they don't really want to, but I just think the best thing is that they know that they have help, or they, you know, if they need someone to talk to, they know that they can get that, you know, because I think it's probably one of the best things that they can offer is just make sure students are aware that they have the help they need.
Okay, great. What about you, Sally? How do you think schools can better support?
Yes, I think it was great to hear what Holly said, and also what Holly said before about getting to know your students. And I think as a class teacher in Finland, you usually have like 25 students, so you really have time to get to know the students if you take the time. That is one core element of well-being, to get to know your students, really. Obviously, it's not that easy. 25 is quite much. But still, if there is open environment and everyone feels safe, that and student feels that she or he can come after class and talk to me, I think that is a great step to go forward together.
Indeed. What about you, Tina? Would you like to add something on Sally's and Holly's views?
I think that schools could, like, for instance, in Finland, where the schools are quite autonomous, they can decide that they are not, like, doing interventions that are not fitting for them. They are not increasing the amount of exams and so forth. So they can use their autonomous position if they want and kind of use that in order to support student well-being. And of course, one thing that requires is that teachers get support. So supporting teacher development is one of the very crucial things here. For instance, know-how in skills and strategies of how to support peer interaction in school, for instance. It may be something that, for instance, in Finnish teacher education, which is quite good, but I think that's something that we are lacking here. We don't give our future teachers enough skills and knowledge about how to support this community building, how to support, for instance, peer interaction in classrooms during the ordinary school days, for instance. So I think supporting teacher development and making being like courageous in schools, do what they think that is best for the students.
Okay, that's a beautiful perspective, being courageous. Well, we hope that also with the work we do in the European School Education Platform and in eTwinning, that the work that we do there, it encourages the teacher's professional development and indeed contributes to the teacher's well-being and therefore to the student's well-being as well. Well, to finalize our conversation, well, we've been talking about many practical steps and practical examples, but if we had to summarize, and I would like to start with you, Tina, what are some practical steps that can be taken to implement positive changes in the education system to prioritize well-being?
Well, as a researcher, I have to say that taking research evidence as basis for designing educational settings is one of the things that I would like to see happen more. I mean, the situation is quite good in Finland. We are constantly working with teachers and also policymakers and administration. We have so much research evidence on how well-being is affecting learning, for instance. So I would really hope that would be taken seriously in designing educational settings. And then maybe on a very practical level, I would like to say that many, many things are quite simple. Students all very often tell us that it was great when the teacher once asked me how I'm doing. So this is a very simple thing, really looking at the students that you have and asking how are they doing is quite simple and cheap thing to do.
Indeed. What about you, Sally? What are some practical steps that you would like to suggest to the teachers that are listening to us?
Well, I am actually quite inspired about Holly's story or what they are doing. So I would like to encourage all teachers to come up with some solutions with their own students, because sometimes now when I'm also doing research, it is easy, or it shouldn't be that easy to separate research and school life. It should be more integrated, and I think this is a way how we could integrate research and practicality if teachers and students would also do this together. And just like Tina said, talking to your students and taking the step together.
Thank you, Sally. Holly, last but not the least, what are some practical steps that can be taken to implement positive changes in the education system?
I think maybe awareness. I think, awareness is such a big thing, and it's so easily done as well. So I just think if everyone was a small bit more aware that, well-being is such important, it is important to everyone in the school, teachers, staff, students, everyone, that just to be aware that there are people around that, they're looking out for you. You have somewhere to go.
Thank you so much, Holly, for your words. Well, it's now the end of our podcast, and I would like to thank Tina, Holly, and Sally for joining us. It was a wonderful conversation. I hope you have enjoyed this experience.
Yes, thank you for having me. It was an excellent experience.
Thank you, Sally.
Yes, I'd also like to say thank you. It was a very interesting experience.
Thank you so much, Holly, for your testimony.
Thank you. This was a nice discussion. Thanks all.
Thank you, Tina. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening in to the fourth episode of the Teachers of Europe podcast, and I hope to meet you in the next episode.